the book of Luke, chapter number 9 and verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. When we think about Thanksgiving, many of us have much to be thankful for. And we should be thankful. We're supposed to be thankful. We are commanded. I believe we are demanded to be thankful for the Lord for all the blessings that He's given to us. But certainly the Scriptures would teach us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 that we live in a day when men no longer will give thanks. He says in 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. We live in an unthankful day. Paul pointed it out in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse number 18, talking about these folks who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. We do live in an unthankful day. But we have a lot to be thankful for, and I pray that you won't be unthankful during this holiday season, that you will be thankful. And it's not just at the holiday season. We should be thankful all the time. In everything, and I believe in every day, we should be giving thanks unto the Lord. Now we look in this verse in Luke 9:58, which is an unusual verse about thanks and thanksgiving. But if you look at our Lord's situation, when He left the splendor of glory and came to this earth to be born of a virgin, there was no room for Him to be born at the inn. Jerusalem didn't want Him. The innkeeper couldn't handle it. So they put Him in a lowly manger. Think about it, friends. He could have come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His first coming. But He came as a babe, powerless, not able to do anything for Himself, trusting that Joseph and Mary were going to raise Him and take care of Him and bathe Him and provide for His needs as He grew up. Amen? And the Bible clearly says that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. They have homes. You and I have a home to go back to, and these animals have homes. But He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. He doesn't have a place to call home upon this earth. He doesn't have a mansion. He doesn't own a trailer park. He doesn't even have a travel trailer for a place to pillow His head. Every night He's got to find a new place to lay down and rest, wherever He's walked to, wherever He's come. He doesn't have any place to go. And yet there are at least four places in this Scripture that Jesus gave thanks. Now Jesus is God. Does God give thanks? Well, Jesus did. If Jesus gave thanks, we should give thanks. You and I have a lot of things to give thanks for. We have salvation. We have our spouse. We have our health. We have our children. We have a roof over our head. A car to drive. You had to pick out which clothes to wear, which pair of shoes to put on. He's blessed you with finance. He's been good to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ had not a roof over His head. Didn't have a car to drive. But He was thankful, amen. And so I believe there are at least four things that we can be thankful for, even if you don't have anything. Jesus was. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, we'll see the first one. The first place where Jesus, I believe, was thankful is in Matthew, chapter number 11, and verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. The Lord Jesus was thankful, number one, for God's authored plan. Do you understand tonight that God's gospel truth, the way to heaven, He's made known unto us? He didn't make it known to the wise. He didn't make it known to the rich and the wealthy. and the powerful and the influential, he came and made his plan known to a bunch of shepherds. They were considered worse than any one position that anyone could hold, and God's authored plan was given to the shepherds. Guess what, y'all? He gave his plan to the simple. He said over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, in verse number 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." God's wisdom is revealed to the simple. This wasn't for the intelligent. This was not for the rich. I mean, really, it's to all people. But the powerful and the wise, they reject God's plan as being too simple. There's got to be more to it than that, they would say. He said in Matthew 11, 25, he said, "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." What about that? Hey, the things of God are despised by the world. The things of God are counted as nothing in this old world. And God has revealed his plan to babes. To you and I, simple people, that's who God has revealed his authored plan to. Listen to this verse of scripture, Luke 18 and 17. "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." He said, if you won't humble yourself and come by faith as a little child, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why'd he say that? Because a little child, when you tell them something, they will just believe it. No questions asked. You tell them something, they've got it. That's the way it is. But you tell an adult something, we've got to know all the specifics about it. What time, when, where, how come, why is that? Amen? Little children just believe and accept it. And you and I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Even as a little child, we must receive the kingdom of God. He did not reveal his plan to the wise and to the rich and the famous. He came to the simple. He came to the babes. He came to the poor. He came to the lowly. Hey, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Praise God. He came to you and I, and he showed us God's authored plan. And you know what Jesus did for God's authored plan? He said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven." He was thankful for God's plan. Hey, praise God tonight, church. Can't you say, "I'm thankful for the plan of God because it included simple old me. I was a big dummy. I'd have never figured it out. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any wisdom. How, what could I have ever done to have worked for it or to have merited it? I'm just an old sinner, but thanks be unto God. He revealed his plan to me and he saved my soul. And I thank his holy name tonight for that." Amen. Number two, in the book of John, chapter number 6. We see this second time that Jesus gave thanks. Verse number 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks,
He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Number 2, Jesus was thankful for God's abounding provisions. Here's a great company of people that are following Jesus. 5,000 men in the number, not to mention the women and the children. Could have been in 15,000 folks that are gathered here, and they're hungry. And they've got nothing to eat. Well, you may say, preacher, they should have took up a love offering. Jesus knew they had nothing. The poor and the lowlies who followed him. And he says to his disciple, he says, what are we going to do that everybody may have something to eat? And the Lord knew what he was going to do. He was not trying to get a suggestion or an idea from Philip. He was trying to prove to Philip his ability and his power. And Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. But praise God for Brother Andrew. He comes up to Jesus and said, there is a lad here that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. It'd been all right if he'd have said that, but he continued on and said, but what are they among so many? In other words, it's all we've got, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But the little lad gave that to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He takes that little lad's offering, those 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and the Bible says that he gave thanks. What's he giving thanks for? He's God. He could have spoken a word and fed that crowd. He could have simply pointed his finger and fed that whole crowd. But amen, he's trying to get them in on it, trying to establish their faith and trying to grow their faith and increase their faith. And he looks and he begins to take that little provision and he says, Father, I thank you for your provisions. He gives thanks to God the Father for a young boy who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He's given thanks for the meal. He's given thanks for the provision of God, which is a lot more than most of us do. We'll get over our table and set out the green beans and the taters and just jump right in there. You remember that little boy that went over to his friend's house and he got over there and his mama came in and set down all the pots and the pans there on the table, and they jumped in there and started getting all them mashed taters and green beans and corn and tearing out cornbread and just started ripping into it. And that little boy's sitting there and he hadn't even got anything in his plate yet, and he's just watching them tear into it. And he said, wait a minute, ain't y'all going to pray? And they said, we don't pray at our house. He sat there for another minute because he did back at his. And he looked at him and he said, oh, I get it. You're kind of like my dog. He just jumps in there too. Say amen. We all learn, amen, that anything that we have to eat, God's provided that for us. You may say, oh no, bless God, I've worked hard for it. I went and bought me a turkey. I went and bought this stuff and it was my money. Hey, where did you get the ability to buy the turkey? And after all, whose turkey was it? Well, I believe it belonged to some farm. Who owns the farm? Farmer Jones. Oh, really? Well, who do you think Farmer Jones got his ability to have turkeys from? God. All food and all things, all provisions come from God. And Jesus is giving thanks to God for the provisions. And guess what? It fed 5,000. And all the women. And all the children. And they didn't just get little. They got completely filled up. And pushed away from the table and said, we can't eat no more. And Jesus said to his disciples, now you go out and take up the fragments that nothing will be lost. And they gathered 12 baskets filled with the leftovers. Why, them 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes wouldn't have been enough to have fed, to have filled up those baskets beforehand. But when Jesus gave thanks and when Jesus blessed it, it was more than enough and went farther than it could have went in our hands. Friend, I think it's important. If Jesus gave thanks to the Father for provision, you and I need to give thanks. And who knows what would happen if you and I would give thanks and bless his name for something to eat. Maybe it would go further at your house too. He did say this Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How are we going to be filled with righteousness? I can't give it to you. You can't give it to me. Where are we going to get the righteousness that we need for if we're hungering and thirsting for it? I got an idea. He'll give thanks to God the Father and bless it and send us righteousness and fill us, amen. Hey, he is more than enough to meet our needs. I bless his holy name tonight. And I thank him for his wonderful provision, don't you? Number three, while we're here in the book of John, let's look at chapter number 11. Jesus is thankful for God's authored plan. Jesus is thankful for God's abounding provisions. In John chapter 11, we meet a man named Lazarus. He's sick and he dies. Jesus finally arrives there in the town of Bethany, and Lazarus has already been dead 4 days. And I still believe that even though Jesus has come 4 days late, he's still on time. And he's come into this little village there. And the Bible says in verse number 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now why did he do that? He's God. He could have pointed his finger and made it said to that stone, be thou removed. And that stone could have been cast into the ocean and made a big splash. But that's not what Jesus did. He said, take ye away the stone. He said, I want you to exercise a little faith on your part. A little effort's demanded of you. You may say, why don't God just give to me and give to me? Hey, let me tell you something. He's looking for a little effort from you. He wants to include you in his plan. He's trying to increase your faith in his ability. Amen? And he says, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Well, I'm really glad she said that because she's confessed her unbelief. She believed that Jesus could help her out yonder at the resurrection in days and days and years to come. But she didn't believe that Jesus could help her now. That's the biggest problem in most of our homes and most of our churches. We know that he's going to help us one day when he comes. Oh, what a day that's going to be, and that's true. But he can help us now. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He's demanding faith from her. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he could have just said, come forth, everybody that got out of the grave. So he had to pin it down just to Lazarus. He was just looking to raise him. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. When Jesus got there, he's looking for some faith. Take ye away the stone. She confessed her unbelief. And finally they rolled the stone away. And what was his words? Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. What's he thanking the Father for? He's thanking God for answered prayers. He said, Father, I know that you heard me. And Father, I know that you hear me always. Oh, hallelujah, church. We certainly could be thankful for God's authored plan. We could be thankful tonight for God's abounding provisions. Amen. But we ought to be thankful for God's answered prayers. Hey, he said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Aren't you glad tonight that there's a God who hears our prayers? Aren't you even gladder that there's a God who answers our prayers? Amen. All these other gods are dead gods. They can't hear. They get down and pray towards Mecca all them times a day. But old Muhammad can't even hear them. Amen. But when we get on our knees, bow our head, and call on our Savior, He hears our prayers. And he's able to do something about it. Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always. In fact, Jesus didn't just say, I know. He said, I knew. Knew is past tense. This is something he already knew. Well, he's God. He ought to know that. Well, we know it. And we already, when we came here or not, we should have knew it. Amen. We should have known that God hears and answers our prayers. Well, we realize that he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead got up and came out bound, head to toe with them grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go. That's what happened to me the night I got saved. That preacher was preaching, amen. For the first time, the Holy Ghost had got a hold of me and arrested me and had me set up and listen. And I figured out I was lost. I figured out I was on my way to hell. I figured out Jesus died for me and how much he loved me. And I'm telling you what, he told me, Darren, it's time to come forth. Woo! And up from there, amen, I got out of that old pew. I walked my way down there, bound head and foot with old grave clothes. And I bowed down there at that front altar. And I began to call on the Lord. Jesus, would you forgive me? Jesus, would you save me? And you know what he said? He said, loose him and let him go. I say tonight, glory to God, I'm glad my chains have fallen off. Sin has passed away, amen, and now I've been redeemed on my way to the glory land tonight. Bless his holy name. I got news for the devil. There's coming a day, and it could be today, that Jesus is going to come in the rapture, and he's going to say to the bride, come forth. And the dead in Christ, amen, that have been buried in these graveyards, guess what? Going to save the grave, loose them, and let them go. And out from the grave, their bodies are going to rise, amen. And you and I, which are still alive and remain, guess what? He's going to say to gravity, loose them, and let them go. Woo! Out of here we're going to go, amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be before the Lord. Well, I'm thankful tonight, aren't you, that God answers our prayers. When I asked him to save me, he did, amen. Glory to God. When I've asked him to save my family, he did, amen. I bless his name for God's ability to hear and to answer our prayers. Fourthly, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, we see Jesus as he is there with his disciples. They have gathered in the upper room in verse number 26. The scripture says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus, when he took the bread, Jesus, when he took the cup, gave thanks. You may say, preacher, now look at that again. Verse 26 didn't say gave thanks over the bread. He only gave thanks in verse 27 over the cup. Well, let's just compare Scripture with Scripture, amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, down here in verse number 23, I believe the Lord Jesus appeared to Apostle Paul, and he told him about keeping the Lord's Supper at the house of God. Verse 23 of chapter 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Certainly Jesus was thankful for the bread. Certainly Jesus was thankful for the cup. But back in Matthew 26, there's an interesting phrase that we must point out. This is not a prayer before the meal. They're already eating. Verse 26 says, and as they were eating. So Jesus' thankfulness goes much deeper than just the provisions of God of this meal. You know, that bread is symbolic of his body, a body that's going to endure excruciating pain and suffering, a body that's going to be broken, a body that's going to be spit upon, a body that's going to be smitten, a body that's going to be stricken by the hands of sinful men. His body will be beaten. His body will be bruised. His body will be bloodied. He will be crowned and he will be crucified. His body is broken for sin, and he gave thanks before it ever happened. We know that the cup represents his blood. Hey, it was shed one time on the cross for all times. Don't you know that Jesus knew? He was on his way to the cross. He knew this was the Last Supper. He knew that on that cross he would lay down his life. He knew that his blood would be shed, every drop of it. Some folks will say, just one drop of Jesus' blood forgave all my sins. Friend, while that may be a nice thing to say, he did not just give one drop of blood for you. If he could have done that, he'd have pricked his finger. That's not what he did. He gave his entire life's blood that you and I might be saved, that we might be redeemed. He was nailed there to that tree. He'd already been scourged and bloodied and beaten. And we know that he's up on that tree there. Finally, they run a spear into his side, and out came blood and water. Jesus, knowing that he's going to die on the cross, you know what he says? I'm thankful. What about that? Why is he thankful? He knew without his sacrifice, our eternal redemption could not be complete. And he said, Lord, I'm thankful for this bread that's broken. And I'm thankful for this cup which represents my blood that's about to be shed. Because in doing this, I'll be bringing many sons unto glory. And he gave thanks. Boy, I tell you what, y'all. We don't give thanks for everything. When things go wrong, when things go bad, we do not give thanks. Yet our Savior upon the cross knew, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. And in knowing that he's going up to that cross, in knowing he's going to go to Gethsemane and go to Golgotha and go on up there to Golgotha, knowing he would go all the way to the grave, he still gave thanks. Boy, that is an amazing statement to me. It tells me that we can give thanks in everything and for everything. It also tells me that we ought to live a surrendered life. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing to surrender his life to the will of God and be thankful in doing so. Most folks, when they have to give up their will for what somebody else wants them to do, they feel like they're a prisoner. They feel like they're a captive. They feel like they've been oppressed. But Jesus, in doing so, taking upon himself the form of a servant, gave thanks and said, gladly, I'll lay down my life because I love them. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all, we really can give him our thanks in tough times. We really can completely surrender our lives to him. I'll let you go right here. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 26. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can give thanks for everything. I thought this afternoon about Abraham Lincoln. He was born in a one-room log cabin in Kentucky. At 7 years of age, he had to move away from his home, and he had to go to work. At 9 years of age, his mama died. When he was 23, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but they couldn't afford to send him. He didn't have the education. He didn't have the money. When he was 23, he went into debt with a partner and bought a small store. But 2 years later, his business partner died, and the resulting debt took Abraham Lincoln years to repay. When he was 26 years old, the girl he'd been dating for 4 years died of a fever, tragically. When he was 28, he had courted another girl for about a year, and when he asked for her hand in marriage, she said, no. He ran for Congress, but he was unsuccessful twice. On his third attempt at age 37, he was elected to Congress, and then he failed to be reelected. When he was 41 years old, his son Edward, 4 years old, died. When he was 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. When he was 47, he ran for the vice presidency and he lost. But at age 51, in the year 1860, he was elected as the 16th president of the United States of America. And within the year, Civil War began. When he was 53 years old, his son Willie died at the age of 11. The man Abraham Lincoln was a man who faced discouragement, was he not? And he learned how to move beyond it. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, established the annual celebration of Thanksgiving. You see, Abraham Lincoln learned how important it was that we stop and thank God even in the middle of great difficulties. I believe he was a man, and I believe others believe this as well, who was one of the greatest presidents the United States has ever had. Whether you like him or not, he is a good example of thankfulness. I want to read to you his proclamation, just a few portions of it. This was a proclamation by the United States president. He begins to mention about the ever watchful providence of Almighty God in his proclamation. He says, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. By the President Abraham Lincoln. Somebody stood up with boldness and said our nation ought to set aside a day of thanksgiving and praise to him. See, that's what we leave out. We like the turkey and we like the fellowship and we like the family, we like the getting together, but we leave that part out. And in the middle of great difficulties, Abraham Lincoln was thankful and he looked to God to heal our nation. When he was 56 years old, the Civil War ended. Within 5 days, he was at a theater and was shot in the head. The next morning, President Lincoln died. But guess what? Psalm 100, verse 4 says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I believe Abraham Lincoln was probably a saved man. And don't you know he entered into his courts with thanksgiving and praise? Doesn't our God deserve a little praise? I thought it unique that he didn't just call it Thanksgiving, but he called it a day of thanksgiving and praise. And he got it from the Bible. That's where he learned to read. Psalm 100, verse number 4. Bless his holy name. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We have much to praise you for and much to thank you for. And Father, as we see the four times that Jesus gave thanks, it just comes to us, Lord, that even though he had nothing upon this earth, he had everything to be thankful for. So do we. Salvation, answered prayers. Bless your holy name, Lord, for all you do for us. Bless us now, Father, and we commit this Thanksgiving holiday season to the thanksgiving and the praise due to your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.